Our Bible reading this morning is Ephesians 3, verses 16 to 9. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen.
Good morning. They're reading from the Gospel is John chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. A grain of wheat must die. There were some Greeks in town who had come up to worship at the feast. They approached Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. "Sir, we want to see Jesus. Can you help us?" Peter went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip together told Jesus, and Jesus answered, "The time's up. The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never more than one grain of wheat. But if it dies, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let go reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. If anyone of you wants to serve me, then follow me. Then you'll be where I am, ready to serve at a moment's notice. The Father will honour and reward anyone who serves me. Right now, my soul is troubled. And what am I going to say? Father, get me out of this. No, this is why I came in the first place. I'll say, Father, put your glory on display. A voice came out of the sky. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The listening crowd said, Thunder. Others said, An angel spoke to him. Jesus said, The voice didn't come for me, but for you. At this moment, the world is in crisis. Now Satan, the ruler of this world, will be thrown out, and I, as I am lifted up from the earth, will attract everyone to me and gather them around me. He put it this way to show how he was going to be put to death. Amen.
Amen. And thank you to Neil and to Christine for reading to us from the scriptures, and for Sheila for her testimony. Beware of Greeks bearing gifts, says an old phrase originating from the incident of the Trojan horse, the gift of a wooden horse to the city of Troy in what we would now think of as Western Turkey, from the Athenians to hide the invading soldiers. Things are not always what they seem in life. And that's true in this incident from St. John's Gospel. It has several surprises and unexpected things for us as we begin to think about this great theme of sharing God's love, as Paul speaks about in terms that the those who made the Trojan horse would have appreciated, about the length, breadth, height and depth, all those things about making measurements. The first of the little surprises is the thing that Sheila has drawn our attention to, and that's the seekers who were in search of Jesus. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Actually, the word see implies meeting. And it was that courtesy of going to one of the followers of a teacher to get through, to speak to them. Now, that may not seem in the least bit surprising to us, but John says they were, yes, those Greeks again. But people from that first wholly scientific culture, but to the Jewish minds of Jesus' followers and the people in the temple courts, they would be irreligious people, suspicious, people they would be a little bit distant about, and yet they want to know Jesus. As I said, they came from what we might regard as the first truly scientific culture. But you do reap what you sow, as the letter to the Galatians says, but is true in gardening terms as well, and horticulture. A culture that and life based solely on what we can see, what we can feel, what we encounter on facts, figures and information, can often miss out on matters such as truth, love, purpose, meaning, eternity. These pilgrims in the Jewish temple, which was a series of nesting courts, one inside the other, they would have been in the court of the Gentiles, obviously, because that's what they were regarded as, and only those who were then considered to be God-fearers, those who were from outside the Jewish faith but following the laws of Moses, would be permitted. They were looking beyond even the religious trappings of the Jerusalem temple, and they came seeking Jesus. Actually, this jumps us a week ahead. It's after Jesus has entered Jerusalem in what we will think of next Sunday, on Palm Sunday. As the God of love, whose love cannot be measured, comes seeking us in Jesus, there's an open invitation to everyone to seek and to respond him to him. Now, it's Philip, did you see, they approach someone with a Greek name. And he and Andrew, who are always introducing people to Jesus, then bring them into an encounter with Jesus. That sounds simple enough, doesn't it? But that's that word that many Christians are afraid of, evangelism, good news sharing, helping others to encounter Jesus and to know that we're invited to seek out all that he offers and to discover that when we do, there's something profound that happens. We're reading this, of course, from the Bible, but actually for the vast majority of people you will encounter, even while you're kind of generally shut away like you are at the moment. But as you begin to think about the fact that from a week tomorrow, the stay-at-home message will probably disappear and all the signs are looking good. Remember that the vast majority of people whom you meet, when it comes to the Bible they will read, it won't be in the Old Testament or the New Testament, but the U Testament and the Me Testament. And that could be good news if we too are those who are following Jesus. The second of our little surprises, because we might not have gone for this or round this way, is that Jesus, when they come to speak to him, speaks about sacrifice. That wouldn't be the place we'd start, I don't think, but they would have understood it. They were, after all, in the Jewish temple, where there was a great altar. It was a huge visual aid. Not to bribe God, it wasn't a mechanism to get God's favor, but a demonstration of God's love, actually his grace. God reaching across countless eras, you might use one version of that word as. And Jesus says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. But you see, that coded language for his death. Because as he went on to speak later at the end of our reading, now is the time for judgment on the world, and the prince of this world is driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And in case we didn't get it, John says he said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Jesus never offers a kind of watered down or sugar-coated version of what's wrong with our world in its self-centeredness. And he comes to demonstrate God's love. But more than that, to reconnect heaven and earth, to die literally in the place of a convicted terrorist, and to offer reconciliation and to accomplish reconciliation between heaven and earth. Jesus then uses that image of a grain of wheat. He spoke to people from an agricultural community with an image we can still understand. Unless a grain of wheat goes down into the earth, it remains just a single grain. But if it goes and dies, then it rises again. If there's to be life, there must be death. He is saying, as the signs of spring become more obvious as we go out and about, you may be planting seeds or propagating them. If you do, you won't have the original seeds anymore. But if you nurture them, you will have what grows from them. God's love shown to us in Jesus brings a rich fruit. But we come back to this searching business. You see, the search for there being truth dies and bears a new fruit when the God of truth meets us in Jesus. Then begins the exploration. How vast is the truth about God as he has portrayed it personally in Jesus? You heard that in Sheila's testimony. Testimonies don't have a kind of one-off moment. They always are ongoing stories. In these verses in John's gospel, our mixed up world is confronted by the ultimate eternal harvest of a life laid down and new. Life offered, ultimate truth and love found in Jesus, which yields a fruitfulness where there's right and wrong and they really matter. Because if life is a gift to be enjoyed fully now and ultimately internally and eternally encompassed,